ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie.
See what we're up to.
See them on Twitch at ESPN 1000 Chicago.
Hope everyone had a great holiday weekend. Waddle's back from South Carolina.
Yeah.
Back from treatment number three. The gang's together.
All right.
Inside the First Midwest Bank studio. That's where Meller and Abdallah are. And you have a voice on the show as well. 312-332-3776.
Did Mason get home from camp yet?
The ruckus is going on right now. I did not have time during that break to check in to make sure he had a good time. I'll do that at the next break.
You would know if he didn't.
No, I hear lots of happy talk up there, yes.
Good, there you go.
There's not a lot of fighting going on yet. First day of day camp today for the boys with masks, with what do they call those, gaiters as well? The things that you wear around your neck and you could pull up to use like a mask, and then you could pull it down.
The sleeves.
Is that what they call them?
I think so.
Okay.
Called those bandanas where I'm from.
Yeah, whatever the term. So it's different. I mean, there was a lot of anxiety sending two kids away for the first time since March. You know what I'm saying? On a bus when school's been out since March and there's still a lot of unknown. But
it's kind of like it's just a step ahead or a tick ahead of relief, isn't it? Like there is concern, no doubt. I'm not minimizing that. But also, this was like vacation for you today because you didn't hear all of the ruckus in the house for the first time.
For my wife especially. There was no arguing. There was no interruption. There was no mommy, daddy this. We have some chatter.
Whoa.
Football. We already know there was a big story today with Mahomes getting extended.
It's about the big story with Mahomes.
Okay.
There's a compensation update. Per Adam Schefter, Patrick Mahomes' 10-year deal is worth, or his extension, is worth $450 million. The injury guarantee is $140 million per source. The contract does not contain language that ties its value to a percentage of the salary cap. Wow. It is the richest deal in sports history. So there was a rumor that they were going to tie it to a percentage. So if the cap goes up, he gets more money.
And well, that's it was just the a percentage. Way,
yeah.
It's the only way it felt like it was a good path on his part. Because
but
he's
no,
buying
he had two
himself.
More years left, though, too. I mean,
right, but no, you're correct. But the history will tell you in the NFL, signing long-term deals probably isn't the greatest, depending on how much guaranteed money you have. Do you know what I'm saying?
Well, he's got $140 million guaranteed, so in the middle of a pandemic, that's not a bad starting spot.
No
right?
matter if he plays again, if he tears his knee tomorrow. He is guaranteed $140 million.
Well, you either had to have it tied to percentage of cap or the salary cap, or you had to have an enormous amount of it guaranteed. And that's like who had was it Cousins whose contract had the most guaranteed money attached to it, or did somebody just beat that? I think another quarterback just beat that.
Yeah, was it Matt Ryan? Did Matt Ryan get a contract after Cousins?
This is by far the biggest. How about this too? James Palmer from the NFL Network, I think. Do you know? How about this? I'll just tell you. Patrick Mahomes in his career, and albeit it's only been, what, 3 years? 3 years? This is where he ranks in the following categories. Quarterback win percentage, second. Passing yards per game at 302.4, first. Passing yards per attempt, 8.5, first. Touchdown interception ratio, 89 to 20, first. And passer rating, 108.6, also first. This is in Super Bowl era with a minimum of 1,000 attempts. He ranks second, first, 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 and first in all those really important statistics. That's why you got $450 million.
Look, and I know we've got the emotional tie to Mitch in the Mitch draft, but when you compare two players, you really can't go in polar opposite directions like these two have gone, where one guy in the offseason did not have his fifth-year option picked up. They're like, dude, we don't trust you enough to even give you the fifth year of your rookie deal guaranteed. To the other dude saying, not only are we going to extend you 10 years, we're going to give you guaranteed 140, and we're going to pay you 450. Like, think about that. I don't know if there's ever been two guys who, like, even like Manning and Leaf, and the difference there is Manning was still picked first. Like, at least that went in the right order. Like, the guy who was picked first could not go in a exact opposite direction of the other guy.
No, you're right. I mean,
I've never seen anything like it. Ever.
He's the best player in the league, and he got paid like it. So I think, what was the guaranteed money again?
140.
That's $140 million guaranteed. And look, quarterbacks are playing longer than ever now because they're so well protected.
Is he going to, would you bet today, it's a long way away, you'd have to make just an educated guess, would you bet that towards the end of the deal, they're going to have to rip it up again?
He's 24 right now, so he'll be 34 if he plays the entire deal
out.
Think
about what you could do at 34.
34!
Well, Nick Foles is 32 or 31.
Sure, 31,
yeah.
I think.
I mean, look at Brady, look at Breeze, look at Rodgers.
My guess is that contract's going to be renegotiated at some point for some reason.
To Waddle's point, if he's playing anywhere near the level he's established over the last 2 years,
it's going to be
when he's 34, you'll be salivating to sign him to another, you know, 7-year deal.
What is this average out to? So if you erase the next, or so
it's
got 12 years
mil per year.
It's 12 years, right? Because you got the next two and then 10 million, right?
Is that the way they did it? Did they just add 10 years? And that,
yeah, because he's under contract now to 2024 or 2034, right? Mm-hmm. Is that what they said?
Yeah.
So it's a 12-year deal.
You're right. Because it's an extension. So, right. Yeah. So he'd be 36 at the end of the deal then.
So did they rip up the other 2 years?
No. So he's going to make $2.8 million this year, $24.8 million in 2021. So you would just add that to it. So
it's 10 years total. So it's like an 8-year extension on top of the 2 years after.
I don't think so.
No, it's a 10-year extension.
No, it's 10-year extension.
So it's a 12-year deal. Okay. So Schefter's previous tweet was, so it's going to be a 12 years. He's going to make $477.6 million.
Okay.
So he'll be 36 at the end of the deal.
Yeah. He's going to be
insane. And he doesn't have to worry. You said he's making 2 point something this year. Like, he doesn't have to worry now about, even if something would happen this year, he's taken care of, even though this deal doesn't go into effect for 2 years.
So he's $470 million over 12 years is $39 million a year. So my point to you is, at some point, he's going to be underpaid.
That's what I was saying.
Yeah.
Like,
no,
will they get to a point 7-8 years from now where they go, dude, you outplayed the deal. We're going to have to – or he says, look, I'm not happy. You need to pay me more.
Well, think about it. I mean, it all depends on how the salary cap grows.
You know, but that's interesting to me, because if you're Patrick Mahomes, just think about his – like, certainly there's an ego thing that goes along with being the highest paid player. But if he's making $40 million a year, and as long as the Chiefs are, you know, surrounding him with good players, he'll be able to make so much money off the field as well in sponsorships. Like, do you need to demand, if you're him, or is it like partially like he gets to be the next Tom Brady, where he can take a discount, surround himself with good players as well, and then be in a great position to just be the face of the franchise, the face of the NFL for the next decade plus?
Absolutely. And Meller, you know, they could have jacked with him, as Jerry Jones has done with his. I'm not here to jack with you or whatever he says. You know, with Dak, look, you could keep
him
for the
patience to jack with you today.
You know, he's got 2 years left under his rookie deal, and then you've got 2 years control with a franchise tag. So, like, you didn't have to do anything with Mahomes. But what you've done is you won us the Super Bowl. We understand that we're going to pay you more ahead of time here. But we're going to make you happy because it's worth it from both sides. And maybe now going forward, like you said, Meller, because they stepped up to the plate 4 years really before they had to under these stupid rules, that Mahomes will remember that as well.
I would think, too. Look, every time you turn around, the Bears are doing something to Khalil Mack's contract to create space to pay other guys. And Khalil still gets his money.
Yeah.
So,
oh, yeah.
I mean, whatever the contract says or looks like, my guess is that the Kansas City Chiefs capologist is going to be able to tweak here and tweak there to make it possible so they can find money to pay other players.
Speaking of money, there's a lot of debate about Chris Bryant's deal. And Chris Bryant spoke today at Wrigley. He talked about wanting to be a Cub for a long time. But amongst the other things going around in your baseball update, if you're just getting into your car Remember, you can listen at home on your smart speaker. Tell Alexa or Google to play ESPN 1000. You got the ESPN Chicago app. You can watch on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago. So no matter if your commute's different these days, you can watch and listen in so many different ways. The talk around baseball is baseball did not have its I's dotted and T's crossed as far as the testing. Some testers did not show up to Major League Ballpark, the people in charge of the testing. Some didn't show up. The testing results did not come back in the way they were going to come back. And the teams are still waiting.
I'm celebrating the country's birthday. I'm not coming in for testing.
And Chris Bryant was pretty vocal about this, saying, what about the safety here? Here's what Chris Bryant had to say about playing under these conditions.
I guess first I just want to come across as saying I don't want to be insensitive to the people who haven't been able to get tests or have been in situations like that. But as the country kind of gets access to more of those, I think, you know, it's appropriate to talk about our situation here. And, you know, what we agreed to was testing, you know, every other day. And we have had guys here that showed up on Sunday and hadn't gotten tested again, you know, 7 days later, you know, and then you don't get the results for 2 days either. So that's, you know, 9 days without knowing. And I think if we really want this to succeed, you know, we're going to have to figure that out, you know. And I've wanted to play this year because I felt that it would be safe and I would feel comfortable. But honestly, I don't really feel that way, which is why I'm trying to keep my distance from everybody and wear my mask and just so that we can get this thing going. And I think if we want it to happen, if we want it to go smoothly, because this is the easy part, really. I mean, when you get into the season and you're traveling and you're in an airplane, your hotel, you're getting room service, you know, guys are, you know, who knows what people are doing, especially on the other teams too. You know, you got to rely on everybody in this whole thing. And I think if we can't really nail the easy part, which is right now, and you know, just our players, you know, we got a big hill to climb.
That's why I love him. And we always talk about Chris Bryant gets to the point and sums things up so well.
I think he's the best. I think he's the best interview on the Cubs. And that's with, you know, I mean, listen, John Lester is a great conversation. I think there's a lot of guys, but I don't think you get any more information out of anybody on that team than you get from Chris Bryant.
And he's right. You've got all your teams separated. This was supposed to be in place. You couldn't start this without this being in place. And if you couldn't nail this, how are you going to have it where teams are playing and traveling? How are you going to be? I equated it to showing up for football practice without a helmet. When you play football in a real game, Waddle, you can wear all the equipment, but you're still always going to be at risk. Nothing you can do to take out all the risks of a dangerous sport like football. There's nothing you could do during a pandemic to take out all the risks. But if you can't nail the easiest part and not have the testers where they need to be at the right time and the results back promptly, then what's the point?
Well, that's fair. I mean, I would say to you that we are in uncharted waters. These are, you know, I don't think they've ever had to do this. They're probably learning as they go along, which isn't comforting to many people. I would say to you, I will join your side in terms of starting to, and I'm not, whoever is that is becoming more and more skeptical. If there's another snafu, if they repeat this mistake, then I will probably become more and more pessimistic. But I'm not.
And don't get me wrong, Waddle. I'm not yelling at you. Oh my God, this is never going to work because of this.
Yeah,
I'm
no,
just saying, shame on you for not even getting this part right.
Well, this is probably also a residual outcome from all the nonsense that occurred over the negotiation over the money issue.
That's why we're going to dedicate
our issue. Yeah,
we're going to dedicate a song to Rob Manfred coming up next. If you want to weigh in on the baseball or the Mahomes deal, 312-332-3776. There's a lot to get to, plus the good, the bad, the dirty at 4:30. And don't miss the brand new baseball show with Jonathan Hood tonight at 6 o'clock.
Waddle and Sylvie.
Podcasts are ready on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
All right, Anthony Rizzo said this over the weekend, Waddle. It's just flat out embarrassing for me to be searching through Twitter, seeing the updates, because that's how fast they got out there regarding the negotiations. We talked about it. It was a mess for baseball. It made everyone look bad. As Rizzo said, it was billionaires and millionaires fighting. The optics were terrible. One day, you know, Rob Manfred's guaranteeing a season. 5 days later, he's saying he's not confident that baseball is going to be played. Just fighting. And then, okay, we get over all of this. And now, job number one, the only thing that really matters to start this thing, you can't have a season if you can't start this off right, is to just have the I's dotted and T's crossed and have the testing in place. And if people showing up where they're supposed to be and results coming back on time, and Chris Bryant just said that he thought it would feel safer than he's felt. So this calls for a Rob Manfred hates baseball from our friend Danny Rocket.
Rob Manfred likes opening days in winter. Likes baseball games that don't go on too long. Rob Manfred likes more offense from the hitter. Likes juicing up the ball and hitting dongs. Intentional walks with just a finger. And old umpires who are always blowing calls. Likes the National League DH. But one thing Manfred hates, Rob Manfred hates baseball. Rob Manfred likes a pitch clock for the pitches. Listening the ball, dragon blower stitches, and half the team's making the playoffs. Rob Manfred likes pitchers who face three batters, and not paying minor leaguers at all. Like we catch, don't block the plate, but one thing Manfred hates, Rob Manfred hates baseball. Houston Astros cheat. He likes how ticket prices keep the fans out and X-ing teams out of the minor leagues. Rob Manfred's gonna bring us real bad umpires to tell C.B. Buckner that he's been wrong. He likes putting money in the bank.
Baseball keeps doing that baseball.
Yeah, they keep doing baseball. There are some things, though, that Danny Rocket mentioned that Rob Manfred likes that I actually am a fan of.
Yeah.
Like speeding up the game and some of the other issues. But
sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, at one time he was our guy.
Yeah.
And I think he would still be our guy, or at least I'd like to have him be our guy. But just get your stuff done.
Yeah, well, this is like...
Be more like Adam Silver.
Like Passan says, I spoke with another player who was tested earlier, even earlier than not again until yesterday, referencing some of the testing issues. He said the testing issues are real. They're also fixable. Major League Baseball has a short window to remedy them before players lose faith in the process, and this is before games and travel have started. And I agree with him. Like, this is awful, but you have a chance. You got a chance to make good here. You got a chance almost for a redo. And you got to get it right, or else all trust will be lost.
Yep. Michael on 90. You're on ESPN 1000. What's going on, Michael?
What's going on? First time, long time.
Appreciate
someone
it.
Said earlier that Victor Caratini could be an everyday starter on this Cubs team, and I think that was the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard in my entire life. Wilson Contreras hit 24 homers and a 270 last year, with 140 less at-bats than 2018. He should have hit 34-plus if he was healthy. And he's a top-three hitter every day. Caratini cannot sniff the top seven without being a liability. I don't know. I think Wilson Contreras is our catcher for the future. I'll hang up and listen.
Well, I think also
there was a caller who called in and said that, who suggested that.
I think with the development of the robot umpire, which is on the horizon, right? I mean, that's going to happen sooner rather than later for balls
and
strikes.
They screw that up too.
Well, but then that kind of eliminates one of the things that is a strike against Wilson Contreras, and that's all of the baseball nerds like Mellor.
Yeah, pitch framing is probably his weakest assets.
And then pitch framing becomes a non-issue now because all of the balls and strikes will be determined by a computer, not by a human. So,
and then look, as the DH is in play, I think that enhances Wilson Contreras' ability on the Cubs because you don't have to catch him every day. You could try to keep him healthier by using him in the DH spot.
Look, this is only
some of these games.
This is only a conversation because of what Tom Ricketts has said about their budget. Because, like, imagine an environment where you would. Why are you looking to deal any of these very good young players? Why are you looking to go away from anyone, whether it's Javi or it's Chris Bryant or it's even Schwarber or Wilson Contreras? You don't send those guys to anybody. You keep them. You pay them in a perfect world. Do you know what I mean?
So, right, unless they deemed Bryant unsignable. That's the problem. Like, Scott Boras was a monkey wrench in the entire negotiation with baseball and the union. Like, that's with him not even having the absolute power. When he's the agent for the single player, if he could make that big of an impact with all the players,
right?
Think how unsignable he can make Chris Bryant, even though Chris Bryant should be the boss.
Right. Now, look, I think it's going to be inevitable. I was pulling your chain before I left for vacation about, hey, enjoy the 2020 season because it's the last season you're going to see with Bryant and Javi Baez in your infield. That's still a very real possibility in my world.
Ivan in Addison, you're on ESPN 1000. What's going on, Ivan?
Hi, yes. First-time caller, long-time listener. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you for calling. Praying for you, Sylvie.
Just a quick question. What do you guys think about the MLB doing the same thing that the NBA is doing with regards to the COVID-19 and the NBA players wearing that ring? Wouldn't that be possible in the MLB? And I'll just hang up and listen to you guys.
I think it's all the reports that we've gotten on all these technological advancements with rings that the NBA guys and golfers are wearing. That's how, what's his name, found out in golf, isn't it? Who's the golfer tested positive?
Was it Nick Watney?
Watney, yep.
He had no symptoms other than what the ring was telling him about, like, the heartbeat or the oxygen intake.
If you could tell me, okay, this, and this will provide a greater possibility that I'll be able to do the thing that I love, which is play baseball or golf or whatever, and in the process, because I'm so damn good at what I do, I make a poo ton of money, give me the ring. I'll put it somewhere where, you know what, where it's uncomfortable, to be honest with you, if it gives the right. I'm just telling you, I'll put that ring on anywhere if it promotes positivity and something that will ensure that we get the season in and we get our money and we get to play the game we love.
Yeah, this is the ring company. There's too much blood flow being detected. I don't think you're wearing the ring right. Please put it back on your finger.
Obviously, I may be exaggerating a touch. Maybe I'm not. I'm just saying to you, if somebody says, hey, here's a ring. A, it's going to be able to protect you, give you an alert if, in fact, you find yourself in a compromised physical condition. And guess what? If everyone wears this ring, and you don't have to wear it to play, not like a wedding ring that Kirk Cousins is wearing where he's under center and Sylvie's upset he's going to get his ring, his finger taken off. This is just something that you wear maybe off the baseball field when you're not playing.
Right, and then you put it away when you're on the field.
So
where do I wear the ring?
Wherever you need to, Jeff, just to make, again, it's like the mask.
You can't wear it on your necklace.
You're the ringmaker.
Though,
I need to know this if we're going to do this properly.
You tell me, you know what? I make them in all shapes and sizes. So you tell me what would be most comfortable for you, where you'd like to wear the ring. All my job is to make sure it provides you all the necessary information to let you know if somehow, some way you may have been exposed to COVID, which not only will help you, but it'll help those around you, your loved ones, your teammates, all those people in your community. I don't see a downside here.
It's the biggest size you make?
You tell me.
I'll take one.
Made to order. Well, listen, it's got to fit snug, so
it
can't, you know.
It's got to be custom, yeah.
Yeah, so it can't, you know, it can't be floating around somewhere.
One size fits all here, bro.
Then I'll go with 2XL.
312-332-3776. More of your calls coming up. Plus, there's a lot to discuss from the weekend. We'll do that in the fun way we called the good, the bad, the dirty.
Waddle and Sylvie, weekdays, 2 to 6.
Follow on Twitter at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87. ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
The good.
It's gone! Oh, my God!
The bad.
That is so bad, that is absolutely brutal.
And the dirty.
I'm talking about nasty.
Wow, so many stories are running through my head right now.
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN Chicago.
That's right, the good, the bad, the dirty. We'll whip around the room. I said whip. And we'll pick one thing good, one thing bad, one thing dirty from this very busy holiday weekend with actually lots of sports news, including the Mahomes deal, like a $450 million contract extension. Waddle, why don't you kick us off back from your beach vacation, which I'm sure was great, not good.
Oh, it's fantastic. Yeah, that goes without saying. My trip, there was, I think, 18 of us in the same house. So, Jeff, there was not a lot of social distancing going on, but it was all family and people we knew. So,
did you guys play FIFA at all?
We did not. No. You know what? There weren't enough controllers, nor was there enough space to spread out. I mean, we just sat on top of each other basically for every meal.
But you did get tested before this. It wasn't like
we didn't do
any precaution. Yeah. And now, because of Lori Lightfoot and her quarantine that she's putting in the city, like you work in the city. There may have been a loophole. So you are doing the show from home for the next 14 days to be safe for all your coworkers.
That is correct. That's how much I love you guys.
Appreciated, Tom.
Thank you. I don't know whether this was a Mellor initiative or not, but
not at all.
I did get back to Chicago under the deadline. I got back yesterday at about 2:15, so I made it prior to the quarantine rule. But because I love you guys,
better safe than sorry.
Yeah.
I'm totally Cap's cool. Going to have to quarantine too. You know, Cap was going to drive back.
That's the best
to avoid quarantine. He's not driving back.
It's too bad he didn't make the road trip back and then find out he still had this. That would have been a little more humorous.
But I don't get it though. So he was only going to drive back only because
if he had been on an airplane within the last 14 days, the radio station said, look, you've been on an airplane, you got to quarantine. But if he hadn't been on an airplane, he didn't have to quarantine, and thus why he was driving back.
But he flew out.
Well, so he came on
there would have been a 14-day buffer.
Yeah, so he came on with Danny and Chris today to talk about it. He flew out there, and he's been inside for 14 days. They haven't gone to any restaurants. They went and they went to the grocery store. They got a bunch of food. They've only been taking walks and hiking, and they haven't seen anybody. They just happen to be doing this in California instead of in their backyard, which doesn't make sense. But anyway, they're out there in California. And he was like, well, if I'm out there for 13 or 14 days, I can drive back, and driving back will allow me to come back to work. And then Mayor Lightfoot was like, not so fast, my friend. And now he has to stay home for 2 weeks after he comes back. So now he's like, well, now I don't need to drive, so I'm going to fly back.
Well, I thought that the drive was going to be an opportunity for him to see a bunch of stuff as well.
The Great American Road Trip is back, it sounds like, with these
Let me tell you something. I drove on the way back 7.5 hours from South Carolina to Tennessee. And then yesterday I drove like 8.5 hours back. I had to lay down. Like, I was dizzy. My eyes were all messed up. I was having anxiety. I mean, like, my whole body, it's because I was, a lot of the drive is 2-lane highway and there's a lot of people and everyone's going fast. I'm old and tired and I was messed up after driving.
So the Great American Road Trip is not back.
It is, but you got to let somebody else in the car, you know, switch off with you. I drove the whole way. My wife kept saying, I'll drive. Don't worry. We'll split this up. No, this is a man's job. This is a father's. It's his role.
Did you have any hold on moments when you had to stop short on your wife and say, hold on?
I did not. No.
Oh, good. That's good.
She sits next to me the whole time and screams at me for how fast I'm driving and how close I am to the car in front of me for 15 hours.
Yours does that too? Yeah.
Oh, it's unbelievable. Anyway, my good is the Chiefs and Mahomes' marriage was strengthened even further by a 10-year, $400 million contract extension. I know the release came out just an hour or so, a couple hours ago. But that's a win-win. We call that a win-win, don't we?
Yeah. Yeah, not for us, though.
Well, I was looking through the prism of the Kansas City Chiefs.
We got a good topic on this for tomorrow. My good is, I watch this on Apple TV, guys, and I'm anxious to hear of Abdallah's reaction. The Beastie Boys documentary. Now, look, I wasn't a Beastie Boys, big fan. I loved License to Ill when it first came out. That was their breakthrough album. And what they did is they reunited and they did a documentary in front of a theater crowd, and it's on Apple TV. Now, remember, one of the three passed away in 2012, Adam Yauch. So they have not performed since then. It was a great look back on how these guys became famous at 16. If you love that sort of a look back and want to hear about, you know, producing a record with Rick Rubin and Spike Jonze and everyone else that went into it, it is such a great look back on just friendship. Have you, any of you guys seen it?
Yeah,
this is
a
must watch.
I saw it. First of all, RIP MCA. I'm a huge Beastie Boys fan.
Yeah, okay, and good. I thought you were going to rip that.
No. I love the Beastie Boys. Love the Beastie Boys. One of the two, like, I've seen them three times, and they're great every single time. Great show. My problem is that I already knew everything that was in the documentary. And
sort of like the McGuire Sosa one, right?
Yeah, like I already knew all this stuff.
But
and
this
I also,
was them telling the story.
I know, but I also didn't like the presentation because you could tell it was scripted.
Right,
you could
course.
Tell they went up there and they had a script and it just sounded like a guy.
Sylvie,
like,
you crossed over into Abdallah's neighborhood.
Yeah, like this,
into
this
his
is,
rock and roll
again,
neighborhood.
Well, again,
I'm glad. I wanted
being
to hear Abdallah's take.
I'm being a super nerd about this because I love the Beastie Boys and I'm very critical of music documentaries in general. So it's still good. It's good. But it wasn't for me because I already know all of this stuff.
You know why I liked it too, Abdallah? Because they look like me now. They look like two suburban dads, you know, which is not the way you picture the Beastie Boys. But I liked going back down memory lane, and I think it's – if you have Apple TV, give that a watch. It's an hour and a half, and if you loved License to Ill like I did, go for it. Meller, Abdallah, what do you guys have?
My good gentleman, we mentioned earlier, but for me, there's nothing that made me laugh harder than the picture of Pablo Sandoval taking grounders at third base. I love it, and I am not – in any way shaming Pablo Sandoval. My life is better for having seen this. I love the fact that he is playing baseball in a rotund fashion during the 60-game truncated season here. And I just want to add that probably the best part is Gabe Kapler's quote about it. He said, where is it here? I'm sorry, I just had it. It's not like he's going to bat leadoff for us. The expectation with Sandoval is he slugs. He drives the baseball. He's a good DH candidate for us. He's got nice, soft hands, and all of those things are present in camp, and those are the things that we're going to be focusing on. So don't focus on the body. Just focus on the soft hands and the fact that he's going to DH for the Giants. I love it.
It's just like focus on the fastball that Bartolo Colon is bringing. Don't look at the fact that he looks like, you know,
Bartolo Colon.
Yeah.
But we do. That's the fun in it, of it. We do.
Yeah, no, I mean, listen, but they can do both. They can look like they're out of shape and a little overweight and also deliver on the diamond.
Get in my belly!
Abdallah, did you give us one?
No, not yet. My good goes to American hero, national treasure, champion of champions, Joey Chestnut, eating 75 yes. hot dogs, hitting the over. Of course, yes, I did gamble on the hot dog eating contest, because if there's something to gamble on, I'll gamble on it. And, people were saying that, oh, put an asterisk on it because the dogs were faster. Put an asterisk on it because they're
stupid.
Inside. Put an asterisk on it because there's no fans. I say, listen, with everything on our minds these days, it's hard to eat 75 of anything, let alone hot dogs.
Put an asterisk on it because Pablo Sandoval wasn't in the competition.
Next year, maybe. That's goals.
Yeah.
All right, let's wrap this up with the bad and the dirty coming up next. I had a question, too, on the Joey Chestnut thing that I wanted to ask you guys. We'll continue this next.
Coming up next.
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Bring Waddle and Sylvie with you at home or in your office. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Heard a lot of questions about the Joey Chestnut performance, and I want to bring that to you guys later as we continue the good, the bad, the dirty? It's a question that I've not heard. So I wanted your take on it when we get to it. But we're in the good, the bad, the dirty. What is your bad, Waddle?
My bad is something I mentioned a little bit earlier. Bryson DeChambeau, who won this week in Detroit, confronts a cameraman for potentially damaging his brand, is what he said. He had a little bit of a hissy fit. Literally, this is what DeChambeau was talking about. He was literally watching me the whole entire way up after getting out of the bunker, walking up to the next screen. And I was just like, sir, what is the need to watch me that long? I mean, I understand it's his job to video me, but at some point I think we need to start protecting our players out here compared to showing a potential vulnerability and hurting someone's image. I just don't think that's necessarily the right thing to do. That's a horrible take.
It's another reason they should bow down to Tiger, because Tiger, his every move every year has always been watched.
Yeah.
Every shot. And yep. There's no fans to boo you, no fans to haze you, no fans to cheer you. There's a dude who's filming. And he's working, and you're worried that he's shooting you too long.
That's a guy who got yoked and is not used to the amount of tension that comes with being, right now, probably the hottest guy on the tour. You know what I mean?
It's crazy. Yeah. You should think he should be living the dream. Like, yeah, eat all the publicity up. It's all good news, dude. Why go Kyrie? Like, that reminded me of Kyrie walking through the tunnel and having, this was actually during his round. Like, at least Kyrie was in the tunnel. I thought Kyrie was stupid to criticize. Oh, you're filming me again? Yeah, you're a basketball player. You're the leader of the Celtics at the time. Live with it. It's part of the gig. This was funny. This is I was listening, getting my Black and Abdallah fill Sunday, and then Fred and Xander came on. Love those two. And you know my love for Fred. I love Fred. Fred's the best. Some of his takes, though, drive me insane. In a loving way, and only Fred, 10 minutes into the show, can rant about youngsters like my kids playing T-ball. Take a listen.
And just so I can tick off all parents in the listening area.
Oh, yeah, I can't wait for this. Go ahead.
The batting tee was built as a device to help hitting, not for six-year-olds to play a game called T-ball. There was no such thing as T-ball. It was an instrument to practice your hitting, okay?
Yeah.
Then all of a sudden, people said, you know what, these six-year-olds...
They started that a long time ago, you know. Yeah. I played T-ball.
Okay, well, I'm sorry for you and anybody that played T-ball.
I mean, are you kidding me? I love you, Fred. I mean, that's... My kid can't play. You don't want the younger viewer. You don't want the youngsters to grow the sport. You want it to die, because only Kyle Schwarber can use a tee in his garage during the pandemic, and my six-year-old can't play the sport that his daddy loves.
I don't think he wants that. I just think he wants you to pitch to him, and if your kid's crowding the plate, maybe he takes one of the chin. That's what Fred wants. Yeah, make him tough. Yeah.
It was the most Fred take ever. That's my bad. Meller, what do you got?
My bad, gentlemen. Is the NBA seriously contemplating a second bubble? One bubble is not going to be difficult. Dumb. Let's put together the worst teams that weren't good enough to make the first bubble, and we're going to try and pull off a second bubble. That is the definition of bad. A bad bubble? Get out of here. I can't even believe.
Unless they played for the lottery pick. But if you're just playing to play games, it's so dumb.
You got to get more Jim Boylan coaching in if you can.
See, maybe is this why?
Yes.
100%.
This has been not firing
100%.
Him to expose him to the bad bubble and just let him not expose your new coach to the bad bubble.
Seriously, though, we haven't done enough undertaking trying to, you know, pull off a first successful bubble. We're actually going to entertain the idea of doing a bad bubble.
Backup bubble.
It's not
just
backup.
In case the first
it's
bubble
bad.
Bursts.
It's bad bubble. Bad bubble. Only
well,
bad
what
teams
what if the first
allowed.
Bubble bursts? Then you have a second.
No,
bubble.
Then the NBA thing is over.
Nothing. You missed the big, intriguing conversation last week, Waddle, of sex bubble. Bubble sex.
I read
sex
that, yeah.
Bubble.
Yeah.
What? Huh?
Sorry, it'd be a song called Sex Bubble.
With or without the ring?
I think with.
What do you got, Abdallah? What's your bad?
My bad goes to me, myself, on the sixth hole at Bray Lock on Saturday. I almost killed my best friend, Chris Bleck, as I lined up my shot to par five, went for my second shot with a four iron. And for some reason, I don't understand physics. I didn't even take physics in high school. It wasn't required, so I didn't take it. I was like, math and science. It's not for us. Math and science combined? Hell no. I approached my shot, and for some reason, it goes 90 degrees
sounds
to
like
my right.
Gym too.
And it, co-ed. And hit him right in the forearm. I used a four iron. If I would have used a six or seven, something with a little more loft on it, I could have killed him. Could have killed him right if I hit him right in the head. Would have been a very somber day.
You wouldn't have hit him at all.
I better head over to Top Golf and get your things worked out.
Well, no, because first of all, it was the only bad shot of the day, of course. And about six holes later, his brother-in-law hit the exact same shot off of a tee, but with his driver, went straight up and to the right. And we're like, why does this keep happening? Almost hit Chris. Why does this keep happening? Why is he a target today?
Waddle, wrap us up. What is your dirty?
I just thought everything dripping down the face and the shirt of Joey Chestnut was dirty. It looked painful. He did not look like he was having any fun.
Soggy buns are disgusting, aren't they?
I think it all looked like just the view of it is dirty.
I think
dirty.
I would vomit if I had to eat one water soaked
bun. Why do you
bun?
Eat the soggy bun? Does it help everything go down?
Yeah, it goes down easier.
That doesn't make any sense.
So you don't have to chew. My dirty is Trevor Bauer. You know how I've fallen in love with Trevor Bauer, except on the baseball field, when he probably shuts out my team. He was wearing the dirty shirt, reminding everybody that the Astros still cheated. His shirt said, Trash Town. Houston cheated 2017 chumps. He's not scared to get in the mix. That's dirty good. Thumbs up to Trevor Bauer. Boys,
my dirty is the fact. Look, I think it's we're on the good path, at least based on what we've seen over the weekend. But my dirty is the fact that it took the Washington football team economic pressure from three minority owners, and the fact that FedEx and Nike have applied pressure on Dan Snyder to finally make the move and change the team name, which is clearly racist. So hopefully they'll get this done officially. But the fact that it's only coming about because of financial pressure is
follow
the real
the
dirty.
Money.
Yep.
I will give you guys my dirty, more sports. It's not really dirty. I'm going to use my dirty to give you some news, more sports. The NHL and the NHLPA announced they have a tentative agreement on a four-year CBA extension.
Ooh.
We now have dates. Training camps will officially open July 13th. Clubs will travel to the hub cities on July 26th. And your NHL play-in, round robin, the quest for the cup, the Blackhawks in the playoffs, officially on August 1st.
So we do have the potential of August 1st. Like around that date of being awesome, because baseball will be back, fingers crossed. The bubble with the NBA will be back, fingers crossed. And the NHL in their pods will be back. So is this all going to happen? We'll discuss.
Hell yes.
And a Joey Chestnut question all up in 2 minutes.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.